We're in the last week of Ed Fringe. We're at Fringe Central. There are still the noises in the background of Staples of Joy going onto flyers that were begging for stars. That's what's happening in the background. I'm joined by
Patrick Dunn
and
Katie Smith.
Now, question to both of you, either of you. What was I doing last week in a container that looked like a living room inside, very comfortable indeed, and I sat down and I kind of story told by reading out of a report, which I want to hear more about, and started getting actually fairly devastated at what I was reading, which seemed to be a lot of science proving that half a degree makes a difference between small island states all around the world becoming devastated, with people displaced, you know, water flooding them, arid deserts and so on, and then actually, the time flew by, and then we passed on to the next people because this thing happened over several days. But what was I doing?
You were taking part in 1.5 Degrees Live, which was a 50-hour, 5-day full reading of the IPCC report on global warming from last year. So you were a number, you were among over 100. We think we were 112 in final. That included a baby, so he didn't read, but was part of another reader's time with us, and we read from Monday morning at 11 o'clock on page one, and we went right through to Friday at 9 o'clock reading the IPCC report on global warming with all of its warnings and opportunities and possibilities and quite a lot of devastating news. And I still think a bit about the section you read. It's quite something when you hear somebody use the word uninhabitable in relation to some of the nations that you were talking about in the Caribbean and in the Pacific Islands.
Now, apart from being the longest show at the Fringe, and actually one of the comfiest venues I've ever played in, what was the aim of this? So what are you hoping to achieve?
We realised that this report is like one of the most, or let's say the most important scientific report that has ever come out about how can we save ourselves from ourselves. It's written for policymakers, it's written for like scientific advisors to government. And we've waited for nearly a year and we haven't seen action on it. But it's really very, very clear that we have to start acting now. And by now, they mean last October. So we decided we needed to just open it up to the public. You know, it's kind of difficult, but actually, we were so pleased how many people said it's easier to understand than I thought, and I didn't realise how important it was, or the little bits that people got from throughout the week of some of that kind of despair and some of hope and some of just understanding how much work has gone into this document. And what we need is for the people of the world to like get their heads around this report, because we can't leave it to the people, the establishment. We can't leave it to the people in power to like act on this, because they've already shown us they're not prepared to act enough.
Now, the 1.5 degrees thing for people also is it kind of reminded me that a lot of science that is coming out about the human being, you know, people suddenly get a health shock and then they end up dying of a heart attack trying to run every day 26 miles, when actually walking well a couple of times a week could be the tipping point back to health for them. And this is also saying, whilst respecting the devastating news now about, you know, what could happen if we heat up 5 degrees or 6 degrees and the looming apocalypse, this is science that's saying actually half a degree could be massive. Just the half a degree improvement, not letting it go to 2 degree climate change, is massive. And the other side of that, but to gain that half a degree requires some pretty significant changes.
Yes, I think what we've seen a lot of in the last year is a lot of nibbling around the edges in some ways, deposit return schemes and minor changes. But what the report talks very clearly about is transformation of systems and real changes within society. I mean, we're already at 1 degree, so we don't have another 1.5 to go in terms of warming. You know, we've already at 1 degree's warming, and we are racing towards 1.5 degrees and well beyond. You know, 2 or 3 degrees is projected for the end of the century.
But we're saying if we peg it back at 1.5 degrees, you know, that's what you're saying, aren't you?
Yes, and the difference can be measured in hundreds of millions of people. The difference between 1.5 degrees and 2 degrees of warming can be measured in hundreds of millions of people being impacted by extreme weather, by displacements, by droughts, by floods, all of that kind of thing. So staying at 1.5 degrees is so important. But it's a very ambitious target, and it's a target that we're not on target to kind of match, to meet.
I guess we hear a lot about, oh, if we can all make small changes, then you know we can keep it all right. The message of the report is not that we can all make small changes and keep it all right, though we do, of course. You know, people should be making the small changes that they can control. But what this report really tells us is, as well as controlling our own lives and the things that we can see, we need to be advocating for the people in power to make changes bigger than each one of us individually. We need to transform our energy system, we need to transform our agriculture system, we need to transform transport, trade, everything, really. So it's in this incredible creative challenge, if you like to see it in an optimistic sense, and we wanted to bring it to the Fringe because the Fringe is full of incredible creative people, and this is not the kind of redesign that should be done by bureaucrats and corporations and politicians. If we're going to redesign the whole world in order to keep us like cooler and safer and happier and create a fairer world, which is a big part of the report as well, then we need it to be like that the whole of society joins in, and the creative people amongst us who can disrupt things and innovate and imagine different worlds, we need them on board.
Now, it's funny you should say Fringe, because now it's time for Fringe Review getting into this too. I'm going to make some nice creative accusations against you. Like, you brought a show here. You created a performance venue, and this was theatre. And this was performance, and I found myself performing and reading a script. So you brought this report as a script to be read and for people to come in and buy a ticket or make a donation and sit and behold this report. And we had fun in my hour. And fun isn't always easy, but you've chosen, haven't you, to bring this as a work of art at the world's largest arts festival.
Yeah, we thought it would...
Guilty.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we did. I think we remember Iraq Out and Loud from a few years ago, 2016, when they read out the Chilcot report. We remember how impactful that was. We wanted to try and... We live in Edinburgh, so we haven't brought it too far. The venue was a shipping container, so that was, we'd like to think, recycled. We got to repurpose that for a week. But yes, we wanted... It is an arts festival. And there is an opportunity to engage with this science in a slightly different way because we set it up as a performance with interesting readers, being read by comedians often, or authors, or we had acrobats, we had artists. So we wanted to engage with it in a slightly different way. And I think to listen to it, as you said, like a storytelling experience, was very powerful. And people really followed something, and we had some fantastic readers who were able to convey the report in a way that could be quite challenging to read. So it'd be, by creating an artistic space, we created a slightly different way to engage with it. And I think it worked.
It's pretty interesting, as one of the performers, you know, that just kind of sight read, I came out fairly devastated by it. But as an act that you hope will disrupt, will have an impact, having you guys perhaps having heard far more than me and heard the performers and done this, do you feel more optimistic having done it?
I have to confess that we were having nightmares beforehand about what if everybody just looks at us with glazed eyes and or walks out after 2 minutes because it's too hard to understand. And we were so...
Honestly, I find Shakespeare harder to understand than that.
We were so pleased at how many people... like said that they understood the report, what they heard, said how important it was, how many people said, I'm going to go away and read some more of that. How many incredible conversations we had with people around that report. And I think, I mean, Tuesday evening to Wednesday was full of devastating stuff. That was really hard. Thursday and Friday were the optimistic element of the report.
So we were just losing islands and stuff there, you know.
Yes, coral reefs, absolutely.
Yeah, just the little stuff.
So I think, for me, I feel extremely mixed about it because I do feel incredibly devastated by... what we're doing, and that's why, you know, we both work for little charities, and I've got GCSE in science, you know, like that's why we've decided to take this big step and try to do something so completely out of our comfort zone. But the experience of doing this, like that like reaffirming our faith in normal people, to have a, like, sensible and intelligent conversations around this, and to care.
Yeah,
like,
but I guess I'm saying reviewing it as theatre. This is dramatic stuff. This is high drama. And as a reviewer, actually, you shouldn't edit it. You had to perform the whole, nearly said effing, the whole thing, didn't you? This would not have worked if you said, we're going to do an hour with the highlights of this report. Part of it was the epic piece of work here.
Yeah, I think so. And also, we're quite aware that we're not qualified to edit it. And I think there is something very powerful about giving people access to the source material. And this report is now so foundational to so much activism and policy also, whether it's policy actively trying to bring about 1.5 degrees or policy in denial that 1.5 degrees is possible.
And for people that weren't there, these references were plastered up on the wall. Yeah. And you know, there was not a small number, were there? Each offering scientific evidence.
Yeah, and I think... We worked hard to try and make that space as comfortable as possible. We like to think that we had the most comfortable seats in the whole fringe, and we thought we'd better give people some comfort and some information and some statistics and some graphs around that as well.
If someone downloaded the report and there it is now in their, you know, in their bedroom, their living room, their office, would you share my recommendation that at least for part of it they should, and even if they're on their own, but families might do it, they should do the same thing. They should read it out and hear it, not just read it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the report is incredibly easy to access online. Anyone can get to it. Every chapter has a summary. There's a summary of the entire thing. And there is a summary of the summary. So there's something there for everybody to access.
I only got it. It's only still with me because I didn't only settle for the summary.
Yes. We have... So in order to make the report readable, there's various things we've done. We've taken it from size 7 font and put it in size 14. We've added in all the acronyms again so that we have real words. We have taken out all the in-text scientific references and put them aside. So if anybody wants to recreate this, we will share with you all of the documents, everything to make it easy to read, everything around that, all our hints and tips, and we would love people to do this in their living rooms, on protest sites, in parliaments, anywhere, and we would love the whole world to be having this conversation.
Now, finally, though this ground has been covered many, many times before, we're here at the world's largest arts festival with lampposts bulging with flyer over flyer over flyer. But also the paradox that, you know, you can be on your laptop for hours, and that can be using as much electricity, actually, as, you know, as if you'd actually not done hours and just done something for an hour, you know, and been smarter in the way you work, or not been online at all and found a different way of doing something. We know that advice is out there, but if someone was hearing this and thought, right, I'm leaving on Sunday, I'm a performer, beyond what we already know about, you know, like, I've got a mug here, it's not a paper cup, I use it again... Has the report thrown up anything that we could do in our lives over the next week to make a difference?
We need to talk to... Like, people need to talk to the people that represent them in power. That's the thing that we can do. Mm-hmm. Talk to the head of the fringe, certainly for performers, and make it known that you want changes. Talk to the government. We are in Scotland next year hosting the biggest climate summit ever to make plans for the future. So, like, if people want to do one thing to make a difference, it's tell people in power that you care and that you're willing to have changes made in your name.
And that's dramatic too, and maybe a good place to end on, because what we're saying is you can't turn your head away and just put some stuff in the recycle bin and buy my mug that I've got. Actually, now we all need to turn towards and engage.
Absolutely right. Yeah, no, absolutely right. And I think that the fringe is interesting because it brings so many creatives and so many possibilities together, but also it's a hugely, in some ways, wasteful kind of experience, all the paper and the flyers and the books and all that kind of stuff. And changes will need to be made in the fringe, I'm sure, no doubt, but that will happen by turning to and engaging, like you say.
Half a degree could make all the difference. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.